Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. Pastor Wes Bradenhoff and I are happy to be with you today, that you have tuned in, and that we are able to discuss issues pertaining to the Christian faith, life, culture, all of these relevant issues that are important in our day as we seek to maintain the cause of Christ, maintaining a wonderful witness in this very dark world, that people would come to know the light and the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, today we had a question posed to us. A few weeks back, we looked at the subject of forgiveness. And a question came to Pastor Bradenhoff about the nature of forgiveness. Is this something that we need to continually ask for as Christians? Because there is, and I've run into this quite a bit. We've been forgiven in Christ. Why do we need to continue to go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness? Is that not an undermining of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we not really putting our hope and trust in Him if we keep going back and asking for forgiveness? That's kind of the general thought. Was that the gist of the question,
Wes? That's right, Chris. Yeah. The idea there is that, Christians are forgiven. We're forgiven all our sins, past, present, and future. So why do we have to keep groveling before God? Confessing sins is one thing, but asking for forgiveness, why do we have to do that? That doesn't seem to make any sense, given the completed work of Christ for us.
Right, and there are numerous passages that deal with this, and we want to look at a few of those today to outline what the Christian life, what we're getting at here is the life of sanctification at the whole thing. What is the Christian life of sanctification? Is it just that once I'm justified now, I'm done with the struggle of sin and repentance and forgiveness? What does that life look like is what we're really...
Yeah, I think we really have to emphasize that this is when we're talking about this from our perspective, this is about the life of sanctification.
Right.
This is not about justification. Justification is there. When we believe in Christ for the first time, we are justified. We are forgiven all our sins and so forth. Everything is good between us and God. We have reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ.
So there is a truth that we are. Now there is no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
The issue is what do we do still with the sin problem now?
Exactly.
That still exists. The body of death, Paul talks about in Romans 6. Well, Wes, why don't you go to 1 John 1, of course, deals with this very clearly.
Yeah, this is a passage that we mentioned the last time we talked about this. And, the interesting thing about 1 John is that, 1 John 1 is that there are not a lot of verses, not a lot of words in this chapter. So there's not really a lot of context here to indicate why John was writing what he was writing here. But 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that it is present tense. It doesn't say, if we confessed our sins, He is faithful and just to have forgiven us our sins in the past, and to have cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Everything here is present tense. And we noted the last time that we looked at this verse that this is what this present tense could also be translated as, if we continue to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it says confessing our sins, that's something that's supposed to be an ongoing activity. But there are other passages as well which speak about this, and maybe you can indicate right. those as well.
Well, I think there's a few that come to mind. And in dealing with this issue, Jesus made a very strong statement in Luke chapter 13, where somebody asked him about these catastrophes that were happening. And Jesus said this: "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, what is repentance? Well, repentance is turning from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus was not saying this is a one-time shot.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying here is there has to be a whole life demonstrating repentance or we will perish. And that comes with the new life in Jesus Christ, that if you are a Christian, this will be demonstrated in your life. Well, if you are struggling with your sin in an ongoing struggle and repenting and turning from it, what's the first part of repentance? Confessing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you're laying the sin before the Lord, asking for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this is characteristic of all of life, then it's going to be a way of life for us because sin disrupts the relationship. It's not on God's part that the problem lies.
Right.
It's our continual body of sin. And in Romans 7, Paul deals with this struggle that goes on in the life of the believer. Remember what he says there in Romans 7? He says, "Look, for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good." But he goes on to say there, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I do." Okay, so there's a struggle.
Right.
I'm constantly finding myself doing things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
What's the answer? Well, Paul gives the answer in crying out to the Lord. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And this is a prayer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." So he's constantly going to the cross, crying out for his sins. And that is right in correlation with 1 John, where it says, if you confess, what does he do?
Right.
He forgives. He lifts you up. Not because you're not justified, but because that sin has disrupted the relationship. Yeah.
And there too, in Romans 7, I think it's very important to pay attention to the tenses that Paul uses. And it's all present.
It's all present.
All present tense.
All present.
And there's no way that people can get around that. And not only that, but there's also a parallel passage in Galatians 5, where Paul is not speaking about himself. He's speaking about the Galatian believers, the Galatian Christians. You know, there's some people who say that Romans 7 is about Paul before he was converted, or they say they'd make a distinction between carnal Christians and spiritual Christians. Well, that runs into on the rocks when we come to Galatians chapter 5. Paul says in verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." And again, that is all present tense, and that is addressed to believers.
Right. And I think, you know, that ongoing struggle that Wes just dealt with, you know, when we look at Romans 7, the whole issue is what is the Christian's relationship to the law now?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Romans 7 is dealing with what we call the third use of the law for
right.
the Christian. As he's growing in sanctification, what is the law doing? Well, before you're a Christian, you see the law as a way for you to climb right up to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after you become a Christian, you see that the law is doing three things. Number one, it's showing you of your sin, showing you your sin. It's arousing sin in you, which is what he says in Romans 7. It gives sin the opportunity to revive. But number three, it's bringing it into you.
Mm-hmm.
So now then, as a Christian, you're going through the struggle of seeing your sin all the more. And that's the sign of sanctification. Seeing your sin.
Right.
Seeing what the law is doing as it's showing you how wretched your heart is. And leading you constantly to fall at the feet of Christ. Well, how could that not be demonstrated any more than repenting of sin and confessing it?
Okay, and then let's move on then to forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, because
right.
I don't think we've really seen that in any of those passages. You know, and I think the proof that Christians should still ask for the forgiveness of their sins regularly is no more clearly taught than in the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We are to go to God, not just at the beginning of our Christian life, but regularly throughout our lives, seeking God's forgiveness for our sins. That's in, you know, the Lord's Prayer. We find that in Matthew 6. We also find it in the Gospel according to Luke. It's a very clear scriptural teaching that Christians, believers, are to ask for the forgiveness of their sins regularly.
The regular is very important because Jesus taught that in a parable.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew chapter 18, you have the parable of the unforgiving servant. And Peter comes up to Christ and says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Mm-hmm. Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So the issue is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So somebody comes, I keep offending you, Wes, and I keep coming saying, Wes, will you forgive me? You are to forgive me infinitely.
Right.
Well, why is that? Because that's how the Lord treats us in our relationship. Mm-hmm. We are constantly coming before his throne, asking for forgiveness, and he forgives us infinitely.
Right. Okay, well, that ties into another question, one that was also brought up by this listener. Was there forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament? Were believers justified in the Old Testament? You know, people will look at the Old Testament, they can see people asking for forgiveness, but is that something that we also have to do in the New Testament as well? Because there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're two separate eras. What do you make of that?
Well, I think what we need to recognize here, again, the life of sanctification is that this continual struggle goes on. And so it's not that in the new covenant that now we have removed sin. The fact is, the answer to that is that yes, we're forgiven, yes, we're pardoned, yes, we're justified, but Paul relates to us this struggle that the body of sin is still present within us. So the old man's crucified, but he said, so that the body of sin might be put to death.
Yeah.
Well, then what's the body of sin? It's this continual struggle that I have, which I have to go to the Lord for, ask for forgiveness. When is that taken away?
Yeah.
Well, Paul says at the end of Romans 7, who will rescue me from this body of death, body of sin?
So we're in the same boat as David.
We're in the same boat. And so the point is there's a future point in time when mortality will be put off with immortality.
Right.
So that has not happened yet. So yeah. That's why as we continue to struggle, it's for our benefit. The Lord tells us to come to him that he might lift us up and renew us in his promises.
Right. So that we keep fleeing to the cross, that we keep looking to the Lord Jesus for every good thing from God's hand.
Right. And he's doing that as a father continuing to shepherd his sons.
Yeah.
You and I struggle. What happens with our children when they do something wrong and they put their head in the dirt? Well, if they've done something against us, we desire them to come to us and we're going to lift them up.
Yeah.
Well, this is how he's treating us as a father with
right.
his sons.
Yeah.
So anyways, wonderful issue. Wes, tell us about this Jesus whom you proclaim and when.
We are at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and we're on 52nd Avenue, just east of the Langley Airport. We worship at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. People can find more information at our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.